5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Behind the Knife, the surgery podcast. Relevant and engaging content designed to help you dominate the day.
Woohoo! It's finally here, a legit education resource designed for advanced practice providers. Yes, PAs, NPs, we've got you something just for you. Welcome to Dominate Surgery for APPs. This is a modern and engaging resource designed to teach APPs the art and the science of surgery. We go beyond rote memorization and focus on your performance. Learn how to present a consult, drive camera, tie a one-handed knot, and first assist in the OR. Dominate Surgery has it all. Concise text, custom illustrations, high-yield flashcards, super useful audio, and professional-grade video, all accessible on our app. The content really is good. It's useful, it's engaging, and it will make you better. Today, we have a podcast from our Dominate Surgery APP Master Educators. This crew is top-notch, and we know you're going to enjoy it. Remember, this is just a tiny fraction of the content from Dominate Surgery. With that, dominate the day.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Knife. I'm Kim Howard, Surgical Curriculum Coordinator at the Duke PA Program and a PA in thoracic surgery, and I'll be your host today. On the docket, diving into one of the most important rotations for APP students, the surgical clerkship. The surgery clerkship or rotation is historically one of the most anxiety-inducing rotations, and students have a lot of uncertainty about how to fit into the team. I can still remember this feeling from all those years ago. I think it can also be hard to find your place if others that you're on rotation with or working with don't fully understand the scope or the role of the APP. We're going to dig into some of the nuances of this rotation for APP learners and give listeners great information and tips about how to dominate their rotation. Joining me today are three amazing people from the APP surgery world who are here to share their valuable insights about being successful on rotation. First up is Mike Johnson. He is a neurosurgery PA and PA educator at the GW PA program.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Next, we have John Messing, a trauma NP, who is also the APP Surgical Service Line Manager at the Inova Health System in Northern Virginia. And he's also trained as an RNFA. John, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here, Kim.
Last but not least is Hannah Horn, an experienced surgical PA and the colorectal surgery APP manager at the Cleveland Clinic. Welcome, Hannah.
Hi, Kim. Excited to join you and the team today.
Thanks, everyone. Okay, let's dive in. We're going to break today's episode up into three main pieces: preparation, execution, and follow-up. We'll also throw in some other general tips and tricks toward the end, so let's just get right down to it with preparation. So a surgery clerkship is made up of so many components. There's the clinic, the operating room itself, which feels like the scariest part for students, I think, and the ICU and floor work and rounding afterwards. It feels daunting when you're a student. The best way to be successful in all of them starts with preparation, preparation, preparation. Mike, if I ask the standard question, what is one of the best ways to prepare? What jumps to mind for you?
Oh, great question. And I think you're right. Preparation is key, and it starts way before you step foot in the operating room or the clinic. One thing that jumps out to me per your question, right away, anatomy. A strong base in anatomy is a must. I have read hundreds of student evaluations from preceptors, and the most common bits of feedback I see is that students should work harder on anatomy. Before the rotation, it's wise to review general principles of anatomy. Go back through all of your flashcards from your anatomy course. Then start to branch out to body systems that you may see on kind of any rotation specifically. As you know, like surgery rotation for PA students can really be any specialty or subspecialty. Maybe your benefit to focus your attention on what you're most likely to see in that clerkship. If you're doing CT surgery, for instance, do a very broad anatomy review, then focus on the structures in the chest and the abdomen. I caution you, don't just memorize the stuff like you may have had to during your anatomy course. You have to think about it functionally. Think about blood supply. Think about innervation. Think about function. And then make sure you're thinking about these things in three dimensions. Think about one structure's relationship to another. Think about layers. Think about what you might not be able to see when you're looking at these inside of a patient. Knowledge of anatomy is your foundation to a successful rotation.
Absolutely, Mike. I totally agree. So you've studied your anatomy. You're feeling pretty confident about that. Are there other elements from the didactic year, since you're in education, that are important to review prior to starting the rotation?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, as a student, you can't control a lot of what happens in the operating room. So it's all about reducing stress in the area where you do have control. It's important to review all the steps of scrubbing, gowning, gloving, for example. If it wasn't part of your first year of your course, there are several videos were out there where you can review this. Some of those we'll try to get on BTK here in the future. And there are other, you know, dependable YouTube videos out there as well. With respect to gloving, you know, work ahead. Try to find out what your glove size is ahead of time if you can. Take time to try some different combinations of double gloving to see what feels comfortable to you, but fits well and isn't loose. And be honest, when you first start, you tell the circulating nurse on your first day, it's your very first time in the OR, they're likely to help you with this process and make you feel more comfortable. It sounds simple, but it makes a big difference in the OR. It's hard enough to tie knots with double gloves. It's extra hard if your gloves are too loose.
Totally. You know what else makes it hard to hand tie knots?
Yeah. Not knowing how to hand tie knots.
Yeah.
It's the other thing I see most on student evaluations.
Yep. I can't stress enough how important it is to have fluency with this and to keep this skill up during your didactic year after learning it. We've started a monthly knot tying and suturing review and OR orientation for the PA students headed out on their rotation the next month. My partner, shout out to Ken, and I take them to the operating room. We check their glove sizing and try to practice scrubbing and everything exactly like you said, because it's so important. Even the minutiae of how to properly dry your right hand and then your left hand is important, and how to spin once your gown is on. Reviewing that stuff really builds confidence, we found. And Hannah, beyond the anatomy that we just discussed, when it comes to clinic and floor work, what preparation do you recommend?
So, Kim, I just have to share, going off of that glove sizing and being honest, when you first go in the OR, I kid you not, in my general surgery rotation, I went through probably a week using gloves that were too small because I was too afraid to speak up. And when I told the circulating nurse, she was like, why didn't you just tell me? Like, why didn't you say anything? So that is my encouragement to all of you, to just speak up. They don't mind. You're not bothering anyone. They're happy you're there. That's something easy to do. But anyways, okay. So a major part of inpatient rounding is actually examining the patient. So you need to know how to do a proper physical exam and what areas to focus on depending on the specialty. I think the easiest way to go about this is to know what is normal and go from there. So if you know what a normal finding is, then you will know anything different than that needs further assessed. Another important thing I like to remind students about is to refresh your wound care skills. It's important to know the basics of wound care and know how to assess and describe wounds properly. This also means knowing what supplies you need to do this, such as gauze, tape, Q-tips, scissors, staple remover, and have these with you on rounds. There's a reason our white coats have such big pockets. It's also incredibly important to know how to present a patient to your supervising PA or surgeon. This should have been reviewed during your didactic education and practiced with your fellow students. But I'd recommend practicing a sample patient that you may see on your rotation prior to starting. And you can use the resources found within this BTK app course to help you do that as well.
That's a really good idea. Thank you, Hannah. So, John, building on the concept of controlling what's in your control, what are some other sort of key ingredients to proper preparation for a surgery rotation?
Yeah, so I think that students often try to show up on their first day without any prior preparation, and it just generates more anxiety. Having a practice run the weekend before can be extremely helpful. Now, having to navigate the hospital, where you're going to park, where you're supposed to meet your team, where your locker is if you have one, and if you don't, where are you going to be able to store your belongings? Do you know where the OR is? Practice opening the locker. Again, you're lucky enough to get one, and getting used to the combination so that if you're in a rush, you won't be fumbling. And don't forget the scrub machine, knowing how to access stats, make sure that it's working properly for you on your first day so you can stay calm. Not to mention, if you don't have scrub access the first time you try and you need to end up tracking down an administrator or somebody, you get that all sorted out beforehand. All of these things, they matter, and they can cause a lot of stress and frustration on your first day if they're not dialed in. And I think this is all further supported by the fact that the morning often is the busiest and most time-crunched part of the day on a surgery service. If you're not prepared before day one, you're going to end up slowing down the team and likely get pushed to the side until the afternoon when someone has a few extra minutes to devote that time to you. Some preceptors, myself included, we'll even insist on students showing up a day or two beforehand in the afternoon to get some of these essential steps out of the way.
Absolutely. Another crucial part of that kind of preparation is knowing how to access the electronic medical record or the EMR. Familiarize yourself with how to look up patient lists, cases, and any relevant information about the surgeries you'll be assisting with. You can oftentimes get access to the shared EMR lists prior to starting the rotation so that you can look things over. Create your own list and customize it so that you have the information you need in a way that's easiest for you to find and follow. This may take some playing around with to find what's right for you, so start this early. Ask one of the APPs that you're assigned with how to make your own list. This is something that is super quick and easy to show, so they're not going to mind to show you that and help you work through that so that you're able to help them as well while you're on the rotation.
That's great. Thank you both so much for that. Great stuff. Okay, so our student has prepped as thoroughly as they can. They have reviewed their anatomy. Let's move on to execution. It is day one. Dun, dun, dun. Mike, what are the kinds of things that you tell your students to keep in mind during their rotation? Like, how should they approach it?
You know, honestly, like the most important things I try to help my students remember is that this is a huge opportunity. It's not a burden for them, and it's not a burden for the preceptors either. Every case, every patient interaction should really be approached that way. You know, your role there is to learn, but also you have to remember you're part of the team and you need to help some too. The more helpful and engaged you are, the more you'll be trusted with tasks and the better experience you'll have as a learner. Another thing a mentor taught me once that I'll pass along to my students is to be early. He always said, you don't want to be a member of the wet hair club in the morning. Maybe it was my time in the fire service, but I have terrible anxiety about being late. And frankly, it served me well on my rotations and as a surgical APP.
I totally agree, Mike. The way you show up on rotation really matters. It's important to be early, be humble, and work hard. I really appreciate when students are offering assistance and looking for learning opportunities. And don't underestimate the value of introducing yourself to everyone on the team, from the surgeons to the nurses on the floor, the OR staff, the dietitians, whoever. Get to know everyone. The better you communicate, the smoother the experience will be for you and the team. If people know you and know that you're hungry to learn, they're more likely to pull you in for those good opportunities. It's part networking, but it's also building the scaffolding for a successful rotation.
Exactly, John. It's so important to introduce yourself to everyone and engage with the entire team. Going off of not knowing where an opportunity may lead by introducing yourself, a personal story is when I was on my CT surgery rotation, my precepting PA actually called me on a weekend because there was a CABG and it was one that I was going to be had the opportunity to be very heavily involved in. And I got that opportunity because I spoke up early to say, you know, if anything comes up, like, please let me know, even if it's a weekend. So because I was not assigned that weekend. So it never hurts to speak up. I think speaking up when appropriate and advocating for yourself is important across the board. Asking for those learning opportunities can also signal what types of things you're supposed to be doing and capable of doing. This goes along with what you alluded to earlier, Kim, as well. If a surgeon or a resident is less familiar with the APP role or scope of practice, then they may not invite you to place a chest tube or an NG tube, for example. I think it's easy for students to be on a rotation and become a wallflower in instances like this. This is why, even though it may seem intimidating at times, it's important to speak up. It may help ease some anxieties to know that the supervising surgeon or APP want to teach you, and they want you there. They want you to learn. They want you to succeed. That's why they've taken you on as a student, and they want to support you. At the end of the day, this is your learning opportunity, and what you make of it will be what you get from it.
Good point, Hannah. The way I see it as a preceptor is that a student should act so interested in this rotation that I'm convinced it's the favorite rotation. And I often quote this to my team, but I do think it resonates here. So take the advice from Patrick Lachomi's ideal team player by being hungry, humble, and smart.
I love that mentality. Thanks, John. So, okay, Mike, let's shift our focus to the operating room specifically. What else can a student do to execute well in the OR?
There's a lot of stuff here, but, you know, I think this kind of area between preparation and execution. So it's some degree it's preparation, and it's the night before. It's all about case-specific preparation. If you know what case will be assigned to the following day, and you may not always have this opportunity, depending on what your service is like, prepare for that case extensively. My advice, know your patient and their history. Know their diagnosis. Is it cancer? Do they need chemo? Are they already on it? What's the general prognosis for them? Is this a palliative surgery? I think it's also helpful to consider what it took for that patient to get to this point. Think about how much effort patients invested. Appointments, copays, radiology, pre-ops, stress test. It may only be a few hours of your life, but it may have been a year of work for some patients. Then you think about the basic considerations that you have to know for every patient. Do they have any major comorbidities like sleep apnea or diabetes that would make their surgery more or less safe or risky? And always review a patient's prior surgeries. Also, know what case is going to happen. Is it open? Is it robotic, laparoscopic, and why? What is the positioning and what are the pitfalls associated with that position? This is a good time to get a bit more detailed in your anatomy prep too, to know the anatomy involved in that specific surgery.
Couldn't agree more, Mike. Definitely study the night before. Do not let a surgeon see you watching a YouTube video of the upcoming surgery in the pre-op holding while you're waiting to roll that patient back.
Exactly. Even if you've studied the night before, I think this is good advice because the surgeon may think that this is all the prep that you did, and they may have some harder questions for you if they think that's the case. So you've studied, and then when you go to the OR, the first and most important thing to do is when you first start and get to the OR, is introduce you to the OR team. The circulating nurse, the scrub nurse, anyone that is there early on the anesthesia team, and any other staff that may be there for lifting help or EVS or whatever. You know, then be sure there'll be a whiteboard. You'll write your name, full name on that whiteboard, and that'll go in the medical record. After a lot of things happen, and it'll all feel very new at first and somewhat chaotic, you start to look for patterns and you'll figure out how to be helpful.
Yes, this is the part where students need to learn to read the room.
You start to be aware of the flow of the surgery and anticipate what might be needed. If the team needs something, whether it's a step stool, a Bovie, something with positioning, helping the anesthesiologist with the stylets, getting the patient warmer on. There really are so many different little things to keep track of. Try to catch those things early. Your ability to anticipate the needs shows that you're paying attention and that you want to be part of the team. And practice closed-loop communication. It's key. When someone gives you a task, acknowledge it, complete it, check back in to ensure that the team is satisfied with what you did. And don't hesitate to speak up when you have a question. Surgeons and the whole team expect you to be engaged, and they're not going to expect you to know everything. So ask questions and clarify things when you're unsure.
Such a great point about the communication. I will add that it's important to ask questions. And I will add that it's important to be mindful and read the room with respect to the timing of the question. So, you know, if you're in the middle of like a major unexpected bleed, it's probably not the best time to ask a question that can wait until later.
Also true. And I think that's there's another little bit of context to understand here. And, you know, you have to think about sometimes that you can't scrub into a case. And there might be a lot of other learners there. Or, you know, in case of a major bleed, it's just not safe to have learners at the bedside. So what I make sure people understand is that it's still really a great opportunity to learn, stay, observe, and then ask questions later if it's appropriate.
That's a good point. Thank you, Mike. Okay, so we're going to dig in how to be helpful during a case itself as a first assist in another Behind the Knife segment. So for now, let's transition to execution on the floor. Hannah, what can a PA and NP student do to stand out and be good learners in the ICU and the step-down unit?
Great question. Having spent a lot of time training students in these environments, the first thing that comes to mind is ask. Ask the floor MD or APP what you can help with after rounds and in between cases. This is also a read-the-room situation, like you mentioned earlier. You can see what is being done every day and figure out ways to anticipate what the team will need, sometimes without having to ask. For example, if the team is repeating a hemoglobin, follow up on it. And make a note to yourself to follow up so you don't forget. Come up with a system for this. Personally, even after 7 years, I make boxes on patient lists to this day, and I cross them off as I complete a task. There's no shame in that. If the patient needs a CT scan, check on the status and help move it along. When you have results, consider what you would do with them first and try to formulate a plan and then discuss this with the team. This is how you'll learn. Your interest and enthusiasm really comes across with your actions.
Thank you, Hannah. So, John, what are some other thoughts you have on how to perform well on the floor?
And I have to say, I love the boxes. I do the same thing to this day. And every patient, I put an N, an O, an L next to them, little boxes. I did the note, the orders, I did the list. Sometimes I have an A for, you know, staffing out with the attending, or C for getting sent. So it just keeps me organized. I'm a busy day. But, you know, an overarching piece of advice that I often give is to talk to the overnighters. When you arrive in the morning, if you can find him or her, introduce yourself, ask them how the patient did, thank them for the update, because they're often pretty busy that time of day. And also, as part of pre-rounding, it's important to know all the recorded drain outputs, the general I's and O's, if there's a Foley, the color of the urine, know if the patient is passing gas or had bowel movement, the usual details, but they're important here on the surgery service. And lab values, don't just state them, but know the trend. As I was taught, trend is your friend, and any number in isolation isn't as helpful as the overall direction that it's going. And learn to, you know, figure out what the team wants to hear from you. Find those pieces of data and bring it. It adds value to the service and surrounding. Remember that if there is a dream present, it should have a reason. And if that reason is no longer relevant, maybe ask if it's time to remove it. Now, so much comes to mind, especially as I think about the various subspecialties. If it's a thoracic patient with a chest tube, is there an air leak? Is there not an air leak? Is it titling? If it's a neurosurgery patient, are there deficits in the neuro exam? Vascular patient? Learn how to find the pulses. And if you can't find them, learn how to work the Doppler on the floor and be aware of describing mono, bi, triphasic signals.
Oh, there's so much there, John. I really appreciate that. Mike, any other points from an educator perspective that you can think of?
You know, the clinical year is really where PA and NP students start pushing themselves to improve their differentials and really formulate plans. On a big service, I think it's easy to shy away from this on your surgery rotation, especially if you feel intimidated by the pace. But really, this is your time to shine. Really work towards developing an assessment and a plan so that you're ready when asked, because you will be asked. It'll help you become better as a clinician, and it will help the team give you more thoughtful feedback and teaching, as opposed to if you answer, I'm not sure. Another place I've seen students shy away a bit is with pharmacology. If a patient's on an antibiotic, push yourself to know why. Review the sensitivities, understand the duration. Working with pharmacology is the only way to get more comfortable with it. Remember, in a few short months, you'll no longer be a student, and you will need to know why you are ordering the meds that you're ordering.
That is very true. I always tell the students, you know, really, I agree with you. Engaging in that impression and plan is so important. And I remind them that I might page them for a consult in less than 2 years, which is startles them, but it's really important. Well, thanks, everybody. Those are really helpful hints and I think really good education points for the APP students. Let's talk quickly now about following up after a clerkship or after a rotation. John, what steps should students take after their rotation ends to continue just building those important connections and professional skills?
That's a great question, Kim. I think follow-up is crucial, and it starts with something as simple as a thank you card. I think that it's completely underrated. Not enough people send these. If you send a thank you note to your attending and any other key members who helped you during the rotation, it's really going to help you stand out and shine. It's also often underutilized for follow-up for interviews. Believe me, it helps. But it doesn't have to stop there. You can send a follow-up email, find a way to keep in touch. You never know when you may need a letter of recommendation or some career advice, and staying connected, that's part of your network. You're building this professional network, and I'm amazed that so few people take this thoughtful step in expressing thanks.
And don't forget social media, especially in today's day and age, and can't not mention that when we're doing a podcast right now. So if your department or hospital is on LinkedIn or Instagram, you can connect with them professionally. You can share any educational content that you come across and stay engaged in the medical communities online. But when sharing content, first and foremost, make sure you're complying with HIPAA and with that hospital's social media policy.
Those are excellent points. And also, as an educator, you know, be aware of who you are and who you're not allowed to friend on these social media and things. But I think overall, organizationally, you shouldn't have any issues. Those are really great points. I also want to shout out to a person I precepted many years ago, who wrote handwritten thank you cards to every single person he interacted with, every attending, every resident, every APP, scrub nurse, and scrub tech. And I think we counted somewhere in the neighborhood of 37 different handwritten personalized thank you cards this person wrote. So when it was time for me to write his letter of recommendation down the road, it was a very good one. I was just so memorable. So I'm not saying you have to do that, but there are ways to be remembered. That is a great way of showing genuine gratitude, right? Not that you have to, you know, grovel for it, but, you know, be grateful for this opportunity, because it goes a long way. These relationships that you build during the rotations can be really career defining. In a lot of cases, they are. So really keep these doors open.
Thank you, everyone. That's really awesome. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate you all being here. As a way of sharing our final thoughts, we're going to wrap up with a random tips lightning round. These might not be in the textbooks, but they can make a big difference. So we'll go around until I say time. John, we'll start with you. Just what is a random tip for being successful? Go.
Wear compression knee highs. Standing for long hours in the OR or on the floor can be tough on your legs, and some compression socks will really go a long way with your circulation.
Don't chew gum, especially during presentations or while interacting with the surgical team. It can be distracting. No one wants to watch you chomp on gum, so it can make you seem less professional.
I say practice hand tying during your downtime. Get some nylon or whatever, tie it to your scrub pants. Let be seen doing this. You know, people want to help you. You'll get more comfortable. They'll see you putting in the effort. This is a great way to practice.
Eat when you can. Use the restroom when you can. Sit when you can. Surgery rotations are demanding, but make sure you're staying hydrated and fed so you can focus.
Ambulate patients when you have time. Obviously, check with the nurse first to make sure they're okay for ambulation. But walking patients around is an opportunity for you to practice and help the team out.
Imaging. Surgery is a great rotation to practice interpreting imaging. try to look at films before reading the report and see how you do. This is a real, it's also a safe time to ask questions and be wrong.
Thanks, you guys. That was really good. So many great tips, everyone. Thank you for sharing all of that. I'm sure our listeners are going to find these insights incredibly helpful as they prepare for their surgery rotations. Mike, John, and Hannah, thank you again for being here today. You have provided some amazing advice that will help future APP students not just survive, but really thrive in their surgical training. So thank you.
Kim, thank you for having me. That was fun.
Happy to help. Thanks, Kim.
Take care, everyone, and good luck out there.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, and don't forget to subscribe to Behind the Knife for more episodes and incredible content. Until next time, stay engaged, stay curious, and dominate your surgery rotation.
Be sure to check out our website at www.behindtheknife.org. Download our free app available for Apple iOS and Android. Simply search for Behind the Knife in the App Store or Google Play to download the app. In the app, you can listen to our episodes, watch high-yield videos, and even access our premium content, including our oral board reviews and trauma video atlas. You can also follow us on Twitter at Behind the Knife and on Instagram at Behind the Knife Podcast. If you like what you hear, please be sure to leave us a review. Content produced by Behind the Knife is intended for health professionals and is for educational purposes only. We do not diagnose, treat, or offer patient-specific advice. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your support.
Until next time, dominate the day.